Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1532, air date December
sound.
Let me leave this.
Hold on. Let me make sure Suresh is sharing the sound on the live. One second, guys. One sec. Hold on, everyone. Okay. Suresh, is the sound being shared now?
Yes, Dr. Shiva.
Okay, good. It wasn't shared before, right?
Right, because of the echo, I think, once you left that, also.
Okay. All right, everyone. Let me just make sure the sound's being shared. So let me start again. Welcome, everyone, in social media world. We do these lives every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. We did our 11 a.m. one, and this is our 8 p.m. So I want to welcome everyone. Sorry about the sound issues. We have some new people learning how to do production. Our movement is all bottoms up. It's all volunteers. So everyone pitches in to help. So I wanted to talk about two things. One is Syria, the big lesson that everyone can learn. A lot of people are confused about what's going on in Syria. I did an entire video on it, but sometimes when something like this occurs, you have to repeat it. You have to approach it in different ways from a pedagogy standpoint to educate people. And you can't really assume people know all the subtleties here. So I'm going to discuss Syria. But the larger thing I want to talk about is, why did you guys come here? There's a lot of people come across our movement. They get involved and then they go back to their lives. We give these phenomenal courses. They think they know it all and they won't finish the courses. They won't go through it. And then they'll go to dabble in something else, and then the shit hits the fan, and they say, oh my God, I got to get back involved, okay? And so people, it's like they're off the wagon, on the wagon, you know, without discipline. And the elites know that they can bank on a couple of things if they do it well. They can bank on people's laziness. They can bank on people's lack of focus, lack of ability to follow directions, et cetera. And you can't significantly do anything in the world without having serious people. So as our movement has grown, we've recognized that every one of you, got about 85 people today, has gone through some journey. And we have found those people who become the real agents of change are people who've gone through the journey, they've reflected on their own, they've watched the videos, they take the course, and some of them don't even come to the orientation. They just sort of sit back and watch and absorb it. Nicholas is one of those people. Nicholas just told me, right, Nicholas, that you never even came to the orientation. You were watching the videos, studying, and then after like 6 months, you decided to come to an orientation. But Nicholas had actually, in a very assiduous way, gone through the program. Other people, we have what I call them unconscious incompetence. They think they know it all, but they don't. The content that we put together is content that you cannot get anywhere else. It's the integration of multiple fields of knowledge, engineering system science, traditional medicines, thermodynamic theory, a political history, to create a potent base of knowledge that reveals how the elites manipulate you. That's only one part of it, but it also reveals how you can take care of your body. It also reveals how you can make the proper choice. But most importantly, as I teach this, and I've done this for a long time, I keep trying to refine my own skill on how to make it simpler to understand what it is. Because when you create something so innovative as what we've done with Truth, Freedom, Health, sometimes you don't have all the words to describe it. So the simplest way I could describe it is this movement, this framework, this technology is going to enable you to think critically. And if you don't learn how to think, you're going to fucking die. And this framework teaches people how to think critically. So when you look at Syria, it's a great opportunity because all these grifters, you had one set of grifters, oh my God, Assad and Putin are great people. They're anti-imperialists, they're fighting Zionism. So they were on that side. And it's very easy to get caught in this duality. And then obviously you have all the Zionist scumbags and the United States imperialists who are behind these jihadists who've taken over Syria. It's quite extraordinary. So people typically want to choose one of the big giants to support. And we had a guy who's gone through our courses, or I think he started to, and he was saying, oh, I can't believe you're against Assad and Putin, Dr. Shiva. And after me explaining this, he goes, oh my God, I see what you're saying. So I really want you to understand this because Syria offers a huge opportunity to get your head out of the ass of ignorance of trying to choose sides or the lesser of evils, because it's very clever how the elites keep wanting you to choose lesser of evils at the local level, at the national level, and at the global level. So Syria offers a great opportunity, but the bigger thing is our movement offers you the opportunity to think critically. If you are a parent, know that once you take our course, you can give it away to as many children as you want. And most of the thinking that's done in colleges, no matter which fucking university you go to, is very mechanistic understanding. People say, oh yeah, I'm going to Brown, I'm going to MIT. And they take all these courses and they may ace them, but they are learning like a robot to take courses and succeed. I had a MIT alumni, I think his name is, forget his name. He's probably here. Nick Novak, I think. So Nick went to MIT the same time. He bumped into our movement and he said, you know, I can't believe how many people at MIT were against me when I said I didn't want to support the COVID nonsense. And he said, these are fucking intelligent people who study biochemistry and they learn calculus and they learn engineering. But that doesn't mean that you're actually learning how to think critically. It's more like a monkey learning how to do a trick. It's like those people who go to learn violin and they can play perfectly, but they can never produce a symphony, you see, on their own. It's mechanistic learning, and that's what AI is doing. With AI, machines are actually pretty stupid. You can, but you, with these models and with certain level of heuristics and statistics, you can pretty much teach a machine to do this mechanistic stuff. So what's going to happen to the world and is happening is, since the time of Henry Ford or since the time of the pyramids, those elites, and artificial intelligence has been around for thousands of years. What is artificial intelligence? I did a podcast on this almost 10 years ago, but artificial intelligence began when they created the manufacturing line. You're making a car. You said, you put on the tires, you put on the windshield wiper, you put on the fender, and they train people to do that particular task. Well, now with robots and with, you know, these, what it's basically statistics, this multi-level nonlinear regression, you can basically take these programs and they can mimic those things. So the elites are sitting on saying, wow, I got a company, I got 100 people, I got two people who really can think out of the box. These other 98 people are basically mechanized robots. I can take these two people, give them ChatGPT and robots, and they'll run the whole fucking company for me. Why do I need these other 98 people? And this is important to understand. There's two types of thinking. The intellectual thinking of being able to do something mechanistically, the type of thinking that you call instinctive thinking, and something way beyond that, it's intuitive thinking and critical thinking, looking at a situation, creatively solving a problem, and then summoning, organizing people to help. Well, those people are going to be robots. So if you don't learn how to critically think, you will be fucking out of a job and you will have no financial security. And it doesn't matter if you're a lawyer or you're an aeronautical engineer or you're a database person. Look, I've built many companies. When I started doing work in India many years ago, I noticed in a company of like 200 people, and there was two people, three people. This is in India because colonialism basically made slaves of most Indians. Do this, do this, do this. And they did it because India never had a good bloody revolution to eliminate the elite. So people just followed orders. So it's rare you'll find people who can take a problem and do it, but they'll just follow orders all day long. So India in many ways is a software sweatshop. Okay. And once in a while, you'll find people can actually design the software program, but many of those people leave and they come to the United States. So many of the economists, when they look at India, they'll say, wow, India has all the amazing dynamics to be amazing, the next superpower. They got 50% of the youth are below the age of 25, which is quite extraordinary demographics of 1.6 billion people. But the issue is, if you actually go to India, and I go back and forth quite often, you know, I was at eating somewhere and the waiter was a guy who got an aeronautical engineering degree. He goes, I can't find a job. Okay. And that's commonly true. So the kinds of jobs that are going there are these mechanistic jobs. Apple outsourced all their stuff to China. China outsourced the outsourcing to India. Okay. You can build apparently a car in India using human labor cheaper than you can do it with mechanized robots in China. However, when the mechanization gets lower and lower and software, you know, you have 100 people working on a database team. Well, you only need maybe two people, because to optimize a database, to do data normalization, these kinds of very, you know, important things, you can outsource that to a machine now. So think about what I'm saying. The elites have created a world on the intellectual level that they will eliminate large jobs, and they will find their critical thinkers who work for them. So just in that realm, you're going to see people are going to get fucked if they don't learn how to critically think. Truth Freedom Health teaches you to critically think. Yes, I go off on Booby Kennedy and fucking Trump and all these people because I hate them. And yes, I will continue to expose them. But fundamentally, as a scientist, as an engineer, I've been a very good student most of my life. My job as an educator is to teach you how to think critically if you want to learn, if you want to save yourself. If you don't, I don't have time for you because there's a whole bunch of people actually want to do it. And I have to be very choosy of who I want to support so they can grow and we can build this movement explosively. So I don't really have time, nor does the movement, for people who come, dabble, and ask all sorts of fucked up mental masturbation questions about this or that, but they don't go through the material, which is material that you can't get anywhere else. It's the knowledge of system science. It's what I used to teach at MIT to 55 people a semester. Many of them ended up, you know, becoming professors, joining large companies. But I wanted to bring this knowledge to you. But you have to want to save yourself. So critical thinking is what Truth, Freedom, Health is about. So how does that manifest itself? Well, very simple ways. When COVID took place, I was the only one. I said, this is not about vaccine pro or anti-vax. Critical thinking teaches you this is about boosting your immune system. I must have done 50, 60 videos. I can unequivocally say I probably saved about 200 million lives on this planet. No one else can say that. We taught people the importance of vitamin D3, quercetin, zinc, and why you must fight the lockdowns. We taught people how to fight against the mask mandates, against vaccine mandates. Jade Bhattacharya, Trump appointed, was promoting fucking lockdowns. After I did all this work, after we started the Fire Fauci campaign, they found these Indian guys, literally to mimic me, but twisted a little bit. This is the deception that's taking place. You have to be able to critically think. Those people came 6 months later, after Fauci had implemented all the lockdowns. And Jay fucking Bhattacharya promoted lockdowns. He wrote a scientific paper on it. So you have to know how to critically think. So because I value critical thinking, we said, look, it's about the immune system. The immune system is a heart, is the operating system of your body. Boost the immune system and the rest will take care of itself. We talked about vitamin D3. We gave away the knowledge. Zelenko took our stuff and bottled it. Okay? Vitamin D3 blows up, creates cathelicine antimicrobial proteins. And we taught all this back then. And those are like bullets that pierce the walls of bacteria and fungi and blow up these antigens, you know? And so we taught all this. People absorbed it. Husbands and wives would be fighting and they'd watch our video and they'd say, wow, I get it. Booby fucking Kennedy was making sure people were locked down at the time, and he was making sure people were vaccinated who went to his home, okay? So critical fucking thinking will save your life, and we saved a lot of people's lives. Critical thinking will help you be financially strong. If you're not, you're going to be fucking outsourced out to robots. Non-critical thinking, and we're going to do a whole thing on this Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be called Think or Die. So I don't want to give all of the material away. It's much longer discussion, but the bottom line is our movement is asking you, do you want to think or do you want to die? It's that simple. It really, really is. And so from a simple standpoint, that's what Truth Freedom is about. If you go to truthfreedomhealth.com, you'll see get educated or be enslaved. It's a pretty good slogan. Think or die is even simpler. Do you want to think or do you want to fucking die? And if you want to think, understand that the curriculum we put together, you can't get it anywhere. So honor it. Go through it. Start with Shatter the Swarm. Watch it several times. Go through Get Off the Plantation. Free. Then commit to becoming a warrior scholar. And all of you should do that. If you want to think and prosper and live and fight evil, do that. So given this, and by the way, December 14th at 11 a.m., we're doing a global event where people are meeting in their households or restaurants, etc. It's us to build community. I will come virtually and I'll give this very important special lecture series on Think or Die. I'll go into what I'm saying in a much more deeper way. So if you're a parent, you'll realize you're actually being a derelict, frankly, if you don't teach your kids critical thinking. Yeah, you can do all this homeschooling. Yeah, you can do that. But if you don't teach them the knowledge of system science, which we offer, It's free. By the way, if you're a parent, you take it. You can give it to as many kids as you want. But it's really, you're not setting yourself, your kids up for success if you don't teach them how to critically think with the you know, material we put together. And it's right here. It's gold. So if you look at Syria right now, you have our movement, anyone, whether you're a veteran, whether you've been in this movement, whether you came across this, it's a freaking awesome opportunity to learn so many lessons. And the best way I can describe this is there's a lot of people out there who are anti-Zionist, which is great, who are anti-imperialist, which is great, who even in our own movement see Booby's full of shit, Elon's full of shit, and they're like, BRICS is great. Oh my God, this is great. And Putin and Iran are fighting a Zionist, okay? At this global level. So they choose a side. And what Syria teaches you, again, is you cannot choose the lesser of evils. You cannot choose fucking sides. The only side you can choose is, do you want to save yourself and do you want to collectively organize bottoms up to build a true workers' movement to shatter the swarm? That's it. This is the central principle of what we teach. That sentence that I just said, it's a very deep thing. You have to go through the knowledge to really grasp what I'm saying. Otherwise, you'll be following some, oh, I'm a constitutionalist. I'm going to try to get out of paying taxes over here. Oh, I followed Ron Paul. He's got some good things. Yeah, he made some fuck ups here, but, or I support Kennedy. You know, I think he's going to get rid of seed oils, which is great. You get lost in all this morass. You don't go at the root of the solution and the root of the problem. And the root of the solution is that we must build a bottoms-up movement. And that requires individuals to go into themselves, self-reflect, be independent, and recognize that their independence comes by being interdependent with those other people who want to be independent. And it's about building bottoms-up movements. This is why they will not whisper my name on none of these grifters' channels, or they suppress our movement, because they know we're fucking dangerous. With less than $100,000, we got on ballots, write-in candidates in nearly every state and enlisted on ballots. We broke through the ceiling saying a naturalized citizen could never run for president. We did it. I mean, that should have been fucking front page news. But they dare not give us any visibility. It's too fucking dangerous. And they're right. It is too fucking dangerous for them to give us visibility. So we don't expect that visibility. But we expect people to understand and get on the ground. As many of the videos, it's on the ground. It's meeting people. We don't rely on them. When you get off the plantation, you're fucking off. You start becoming innovative. So when you look at Syria, I did the video on this before, but I'm going to do it again. This is what occurred in Syria, okay? Syria, you know, in that region has been around for thousands and thousands of years, but in modern times, around the 1940s, when Bashar al-Assad, Hafez al-Assad, who was the father of Bashar al-Assad, again, dynasties here, he came to run Syria at a time in the 1940s, which was a time when Israel had just been created. It was a time when the Soviet Union was running under Stalin, okay? See, if you can go back, World War II had just ended. And the world was split into these two major powers, British and U.S. imperialism and the Allies versus, frankly, Russia. Russia as a country went through these different stages. There was a period in Russian history in the early 1900s, 1917, where it had a bottoms-up movement. Independent of the Bolsheviks, there were bottoms-up movements coming up in Russia. The Bolsheviks had the concept of a vanguard party. But there was about a period of around 4 or 5 years where there was some significant revolutionary fervor bottoms up in Russia. And that fervor spread all over the world, which no one wants to teach you in history. It is the workers' movement of Russia that inspired the women's movement in the United States, inspired nearly every major movement in the 1920s for liberation, working people rising up. And the elites were so afraid of these movements coming up that they sent nearly 17 different countries went to surround and invade Russia. Woodrow Wilson in 1918 sent close to 10,000 troops to invade Russia. Every major elite power wanted to overthrow Russia because they said, holy shit, like these working people got together. We can't have this spread in any manner. But it did spread in India in the 1920s. Indian workers rose up. In the United States, working people rose up, the American workers. And this was quite a revolutionary time to live. And the elites were so frightened by this that they had to snuff these movements out. And in Russia, what they did was, because of 17 countries trying to invade Russia, the revolutionary bottoms-up movement became top-down state capitalism by Stalin and Brezhnev and so on, okay? So what you have in Russia was not quote-unquote communism or socialism. It was hijacked top-down. It's what's called state capitalism. It is what China has. And it is what now we have with Elon Trump. Government and big corporations so united that they're one. That is not communist. That is state capitalism top-down. It's actually fascism. So this was going on in that time. So in that time period of the 1940s, Syria or Syrian leaders like Hafez al-Assad, because the word socialism was such a powerfully mobilizing word, you know, for a period of time, Syria had a centralized planning economy, and they actually made some gains. However, after these gains were made, the elites within Syria said, you know what? We need to have more of a market economy, which is really a fake market economy, like the US market economy. And what ended up occurring in Syria was elites again, a small set of Syrian elites and the large mass of working class Syrians. And by, you know, 1900s, early 2000, if you look at the data, most of the Syrians were under the poverty level because the elites of Syria were subjugating the masses of Syrians. In the midst of this, you may remember, depending on how old you are, in around 2010 and 11, the Arab Spring takes place in Egypt. Millions of students took to the streets, workers took to the street in Egypt. And these were bottoms-up movements coming in the Arab Islamic world against the Arab leaders. And this was very, very, like an earthquake was shook. And people like Hosni Mubarak, the fascist in Egypt, literally called up Vodafone and he shut down all the internet overnight. So in 2011, these events inspired the Syrian revolution to take place in Syria. People started rising up, bottoms up, these working people. And they said, what the fuck? We deserve a better life. And in every part of Syria, local movements rose up, bottoms up. In fact, the Syrian elites, led by Hafez Assad, right? I'm sorry, Bashar Assad, his son, I mean, dynasty here. They couldn't even pay the army. So the army deserted. And there was a group called the Free Syrian Army, which emerges. Basically, so imagine all of you listening, you start organizing, you start rising up wherever you are. And the military defects and they come to our side, okay? And the military comes to our side. Please don't put chat stuff in there because it's a little bit distracting here on Zoom. Bazen, I'm not sure if you told people that, just for when I'm sort of going through this line of thought. So anyway, these movements are coming up. Imagine we're organizing. And the military, the Syrian military, huge sections of them defect with their weapons and they're going to join the people. So you had an armed revolution starting to occur, okay, in Syria. This is obviously quite quite threatening. And the United States was threatened by this, and the Zionists were threatened by this. Saudi Arabia was threatened by this, Qatar. Why? Because all these freaking, you know, elite, you know, scumbags of the Arab world who have been suppressing their people, like, holy shit, these movements may come up in our countries. So, interesting enough, the United States, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey Turkey's sort of its own little thing, but particularly these countries got together and say, shit, we can't have it. So they started funding this group that you just saw, Jolani's group, HTS, which was an Islamic fundamentalist group, which was a break from Al-Qaeda and ISIS. It is the United States, CIA, which funded them close to $1 billion. Why? They were so afraid of this bottoms-up movement. They would rather have Islamic fundamentalists, who they claim they don't like or their enemies, run it. Okay? No different than what happened, by the way, in Afghanistan. It's a whole nother story. What they did to the Afghan women in particular, who were fighters on the ground fighting these fucking Taliban. The United States supported the Taliban against women fighters who are actually wanting to build a democratic Afghanistan. But anyway, so these movements are coming up. The US, Zionism, Qatar, take the side of Islamic fundamentalism, start funding them. Over here is Iran and Assad and Putin. Well, no matter how much rhetoric Putin and Iran say against Zionism, or even Assad talking about there was no Holocaust, great. You can say all that anti-Zionist rhetoric, but at the end of the day, you fucked over your own people, Assad. And Putin and the Russian oligarchs were more interested in having the north or the western part of Syria, which has access to warm water ports. Okay? That's what their interest was. So they could pump oil out of there. They're not really caring about the Syrian people. So when this movement came up in 2011, you have the two forces, the dialectic of the U.S. Zionist jihadists over here. And on the other side, you have Assad, Iran, and Russia. And they're framing themselves as anti-imperialist, you see? But they're the not so obvious anti-imperialists, okay? Imperialists, if that makes any sense. So they're over here, and this fight for power ensues, recognizing there's a bottoms-up movement coming. You see, both wings of the swarm do not want a bottoms-up movement. In fact, these guys, you may say, wow, they're saying anti-Zionist stuff. Why? I support them. But you have to understand, they don't fucking support you. If you're going to really fight Zionism and you're really going to eradicate Zionism, it can only happen from a bottoms-up movement. Because these people, to the extent who talk about anti-Zionism, are really not against Zionism. They're only using that rhetoric to keep people aligned with them. So what ended up happening in Syria in 2011 up to 2021, as the civil war is going on, the bottoms-up movement of Syria, and here's the big lesson, had no theoretical framework. They didn't have truth, freedom, health. They didn't have the knowledge of system science. They didn't have this knowledge. They were still in the world of lesser of evils. So the Syrian people said, wow, we've got the U.S. here supporting Islamic fundamentalism. Let's choose to support Iran, Assad, and Russia. Does this make sense? But they didn't realize their own fucking strength, that they should have built their own bottoms-up movement and said, fuck you to both these guys. This is what happens. And now put it at the national microscopic level. People are rising up to build a bottoms-up movement, which is what we were doing in 2021. They bring in Trump and Kennedy. Oh, they're going to take care of it, right? Or in 2016, a lot of young people supported Bernie Sanders, and he gave all of his votes to Hillary Clinton. You see the same shit. People get fucking lazy. They don't want to build the bottoms-up movement. They think there's a quick fix. Ooh, Iran and Putin and Assad are going to save us. Well, what the fuck actually happened? Because the fundamentals of the Syrian economy were fucked. Of the 21 million people, half of them, or 90% of the Syrian peoples, are only making $2 a day, guys. $2 a day in Syria for 90% of the people. The economy is fucked up. Assad is living quite well with his mansion, and go look at how his wife and his kids dress. They're wearing the latest fucking outfits that come from Italy. Okay? They're not suffering. So the fundamentals from that period, even though the working people of Syria supported Assad and Putin, their lives didn't get any better, but they had an opportunity in 2011 and 12 to build a bottoms-up movement. But why didn't they do it? Because they didn't have the right theory. They didn't have the right critical thinking we teach. That's the big fucking lesson. If you don't study this, it's not going to be like mysteriously, oh, the shit's going to get wet, bad. I have a lot of quote unquote smart people say, well, you know, Shiva, you're building a great movement and it's great you guys are doing this, but no one's going to follow you until things get really bad. That's stupid. When things get bad, they just get bad. You have to use the opportunity here to understand. You have to be a good student. You have to put the fucking work in. The Syrian people at that time didn't have any leadership. Our movement offers real leadership to people consistently. Had they had our knowledge had they been studying it when this emergence occurred, they would have said, fuck you to Islamic fundamentalism, Zionism. Fuck you to Putin and Iran and Assad. But they didn't do that. So what happened? It's like a cancer that festers because Assad and Putin and Iran didn't solve the fundamental issues of the Syrian people. 21 million people during this time, of the 21 million people, 10 million people in Syria were displaced during this period. 10 million people. Some of them left the country. Millions went to Turkey. Millions left their own homes. I mean, the Assad regime fucked Syria really bad. They're not like, you know, poor old me. So what ended up happening? So now you come to 2023. You have the whatever. By the way, Hamas is an agent of Israel. Netanyahu makes a call to Hamas. Hamas flies in with hang gliders. So fucking crazy, right? And they start this. They use it as a pretext to go hit Gaza, use it then as a pretext to go into southern Lebanon. But the goal is greater Israel for Israel, okay? So Russia over here is fighting Ukraine. And Iran is fighting, quote unquote, fighting. It's really not fighting. They do just enough fighting against Israel so the people in Iran don't overthrow those mullahs. That's what's really going on. Don't think that the Iranian mullahs really care about their people. They don't. No different than Erdogan, no different than Egypt, no different than the Saudi Arabians care about their people because they suppress all of them. They don't want bottoms-up movements coming. So Iran will, you know, lob a couple of missiles to let people know, yes, we're against Zionism. So Iran's over here fighting Israel, Russia's over here fighting Ukraine. And under these circumstances, given the economy in Syria is flailing, another very evil character by the name of Erdogan, the Turkish guy, and he takes it both ways, this guy. That's who he is, okay? He really does. He's a disgusting human being. He'll one day sleep with Zionism, next day he'll sleep with the US, next day he'll sleep with Putin. He sleeps everywhere. Erdogan has his own visions of grandeur that he wants to create the Ottoman Empire. And if you look where Turkey's sort of northwest of Syria up here, and he wanted to take parts of northern Syria, even into parts of Iraq where the Kurds are. That's his goal. Now, remember I told you 2011 and 12, there was this revolution that took place. The CIA had funded this Al-Qaeda descendant group, HTS. In that period between 2011 to 18, they actually had to leave because the Assad, Putin, and Iranian forces actually won. The working people chose them. And this Islamic fundamentalist group was sitting up in northwestern Syria, just like a cancer, waiting and waiting and waiting, funded by Turkey, funded by the United States, funded by Israel, funded by Saudi, this waiting. And boom, they saw their opportunity. Seeing that Russia was fighting potentially on two fronts, Iran, this group, which has been there for 14 years and could make headway, in 14 days, they take over Syria. 14 years, they can do shit. But in 14 days, they take over an entire country. Two reasons. One, the Assad regime's, you know, ridiculous ways of oppressing their own people had caught up. The chickens had come home to roost. And the two-sided war that the U.S. forced on Russia. But it's not like the Russians and the Iranians supported the bottoms-up popular militias. That's what a real revolutionary movement would have done. They would have armed all the people of Syria. You see, they didn't do that. That's what a popular revolution is. And that's what I want to educate you guys on. So you can't choose sides here. So a lot of these people online, oh my God, I can't believe Hamas is supporting, you know, these Islamic fundamentals. Well, Hamas was fucking created by Israel, idiot. This is all planned. So when you actually apply critical thinking and you understand this, you see the future very clearly. But the Syrian people had an opportunity, but they chose the lesser of evils. And what ultimately happened? Russia was out of there, took their ships, and they flew, right? Did a little bombing, and they're gone. Iran is gone. Assad flew out in a nice first-class Boeing 747 jet, whatever, right? Who's suffering here? The Iranian people. Why are they suffering? Because they didn't have a movement. Why didn't they have the movement? They didn't understand what we teach here. And I'm telling you, it's that simple, but it's that profound. I've spent my entire life trying to understand why there is oppression, why there's injustice, what is the mechanisms, what is the system dynamics that led me to the halls of, you know, getting a bunch of degrees at MIT. I've been given many, many opportunities to be co-opted. Not interested. But what we have organized with this movement is historic. It's never existed in human history before. It's giving people the knowledge, the fire, no different than when we learned the physics of building a plane, physics of building bridges. That's what this is. And that's why when you give away this knowledge freely, as best you can, sometimes I promise people don't get it. They don't appreciate it because the establishment pollutes you. Pay, you know, $300,000 to go to Harvard Business School. Ooh, that knowledge must be really valuable. But the knowledge that we've organized is a knowledge to enable you to critically think if you want to get off the fucking plantation. And the people in Syria were fucked because they didn't have this knowledge. You do. So you owe history, because your history brought you here. So you must develop yourself with this knowledge, because I'll tell you this, the shit's going to hit the fan in all of these imperialist countries. And it's not because the shit hits a fan that people are going to rise up. No, oppression oppresses. Fascism will come in. There'll be greater oppression. It's not like if you have a bad situation, things improve, like people suddenly rise up one day. No. When the shit hits a fan, people are running around trying to survive. That's what happened in Syria. So the American working class in particular has a huge advantage right now. We have the opportunity to sit, learn, understand, absorb, and mobilize a bottoms-up movement. And it is a historic duty to do that in many ways for the global working class. Because every time they fucking print money in the United States, you fuck over billions of people all over the planet. Because you do devalue their currency, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There was some guy who came to my office, you know, I was helping us out. And he goes, you know, I'm going to send you a long email why I still think you shouldn't curse. I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck is your problem? We have thousands of people coming to our movement. They don't give a fuck about cursing. And you should be cursing. My question is, why are you not cursing? What is your fucking problem that you have to try to tell me to control my language because you still haven't learned the fundamentals? Those in power want to dictate the terms how you will operate. And when you're caught in that web, nothing will change. Do not let people tell you how to be to your oppressor, okay? How you should talk to your master. No, that's fucked up. That's a fucking slave mentality. This is called an uncritically thinking person. So I want to invite all of you, and I'll keep doing this all day long, and so will as our leadership grows, and people go, you know, in this movement is you have to go deep within yourself. Sometimes it's good to just sit silently a couple of times in the day, reflect. You have to reach down inside yourself because all the answers are within you. We just have forgotten them. And you have to ask, what is the fucking meaning of life? Is it to be a slave or is it to be a free human being? And if you get to that point, then you have to understand what are the mechanics of doing that. It doesn't just happen because you have an enlightened moment. And, you know, there's tons of hard work. Number one, what are the mechanics? What do we have to do? Well, we've figured all that out. We really have. The issue is, will you get off the plantation and do the work? Will you have your ego that'll say, oh, I know it all? You don't. You don't know this material. If you did, we wouldn't be in this situation. So I invite all of you to honor your own journeys. Not invite you. I want you to honor. Because if you got here out of all the 8 billion people, you saw some fucking video that got you here. And you got access. Go through the material. Go through it again. Get on the ground 20 minutes a day. They want you to not critically think. And where does this not critically think go? Well, the non-critical thinking is, one size fits all medicine. That's really the underlying critical thinking of Big Pharma. Well, critical thinking says the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Non-critical thinking, left versus right. Well, they're saying some good shit. You know, why are you so critical of them? No. The devil says 99% of things that are absolutely perfect. But that 1% is really fucked up what he says, which is, you know, I want to overthrow God, okay? But everything else, he'll say perfectly. Truth is truth is truth. When did you tell the truth at the right time? That's what critically thinking people say. Oh, yeah, he's exposing a lot of truth, fucker Carlson. Really? When did he tell anything at the right time? Never. When did Joe fucking Rogan say anything at the right time? Never. So you have to be a critical thinker. And you have to honor those people who come from below and are fighting for our advancement. We have to have our own leaders, not their leaders. That's respect for ourselves. That's critical thinking. And again, recognize if you're a parent and you have children, we've made this course free to everyone. But you as an adult got to get off. You got to be an adult. Life is short. We have to mobilize, organize in a very conscious way. And that is what this is about. It's very grounding. There's not some highfalutin, you know, abstract thinking here. Go to Shatter the Swarm. Finish, get off the plantation. Get on the ground. Educate other people. Do social media. Invite people to these orientations. You're doing them a service. That's what this movement's about. It's about you becoming independent and interdependent. Not dependent, interdependent. So I hope Syria wakes you up to realize that just because people are fucked over and just because people have passion, and even if a bottoms-up movement comes up, it's not just going to happen. You have to have the right theory. You have to have the right, you know, set of circumstances. Things don't just get better. They don't. We have to mobilize. We have to organize. And that's what we're doing in a very conscious and deliberate way. So I hope you'd be part of that and recognize that this is not easy, but there is no other way. There's no shortcut. So I want to invite the new people, welcome. And what we do at this point is we want to take a few moments for the new people to introduce themselves. It's always very inspiring for us, as I mentioned before, to hear from new people. At the bottom, if you're on a web browser, if you move your cursor down, a little bar will come up on the bottom, and one of the bars says reactions. And if you click on that, it says raise hand. Please raise your hand so you can introduce yourself. And when you introduce yourself, tell us where you are, where you're from, how you came across us, and anything else you want to share. After we do that, then we'll open it up to questions on the topics that we discuss. Suresh, if you can see what's going on online, you can put some of those questions in the chat. But let's go. I know there's new people here, so kindly introduce yourself. Let's start. And if we see new people that we know and you're not introducing yourself, we're going to throw you in the waiting room because it's not fair, because Kennedy, you know, and these people actually send their spies to our meetings, as I've said before. So let's see. What do we got?
Dr. Shiva, we did introductions earlier, but we can.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Who are the new people? Can you just let me know? Oh, Nick is here. Did you introduce Nick?
No, we didn't.
Yeah, Nick Novak. Nick, how are you? Nick is actually from Massachusetts. Nick, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Nick, do you want to just quickly introduce yourself? I spoke very briefly, but maybe you can quickly introduce yourself, how you came across us, and anything else you want to share. Nick, you're right in Massachusetts, right?
I am. So I'm trying to remember the very first time I saw your stuff, but I did come by, say, 2016 or so when you were running for Senate. And then I went back to Illinois when I had an ill parent. So I kind of dropped out of the whole, you know, scene for a while. But then I came back here. And, you know, I follow a lot of sort of independent people, I suppose. And I think I, you know, where I saw it originally is sort of the big battle with your, you know, your court case with, you know, being banned on as you're being, you know, and I noticed that with a bunch of people, but it was interesting that there were much, you actually got down to the details of how it happened as opposed to just sort of noticing it happen. My own situation I've had a couple people get ill in my family, and you know, I think you just see things that don't make any sense. You know, that's maybe the easiest way to say it. And we kind of go around as if, you know, the doctors, this whole system is working out correctly, when you can see, you know, just about anything you scratch at yourself, you look and see that they've done something wrong, whether it's like the Women's Health Initiative, how they treat cancer, how, you know, vaccines, any, wherever you look, you just see problems, and yet it's just sort of accepted, fluoride in water. And these are just, you know, that's just on the health side, and you see it everywhere else too, I suppose. You know, you see it in news broadcasts that don't make sense. You see it in, you know, you see whatever social engineering in how people are supposed to respond online and what they're supposed to say, HR training. It's you know, so you just sort of see it everywhere, and it's just refreshing to hear something where people notice and talk about it. That's all. So,
Nick, I thought you said, Nick, I don't think people know that you also went to MIT and you graduated in 86. Is that
right? Right. That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. And that's around the time I graduated. So we didn't bump into each other.
But
I thought what you said was interesting when we spoke a couple of days ago. You said something like, here's people at MIT who are supposedly intelligent, and they would look at you cross-eyed, right? When you started to question these things.
Well, almost. And what's funny is I know these people aren't part of any system. I mean, they're not part of a control system. They're all sort of, and I know some of them look at the data, and yet I don't know how to explain it to them. But it seems to me that if you know, if people are looking at data from a magician, and then they're measuring, you know, the magician lifts someone's up and they're taking measurements, well, they're not looking at the metadata around it, that how it's being incorrectly created. And so for whatever reason, people, there's this big hurdle that everyone believes these trusted voices because they're part of that system. They're either part of academia, they're part of an institution, and it's just too big of a leap to believe that you're being lied to, I guess, that's all. And in fact, I guess it flipped back toward me, why do you believe this? And, you know, and that leads to these sort of long debates. And it's almost shocking to me because it seems easy to see. And yet most people don't see it for whatever reason. And it's not like I don't question myself. There's, and it's not, but I mean, you can see them say one thing one day and another the next. You know, I can, for example, see, like in the case of, what is it with, in, you know, like I was dealing with someone with ME/CFS and Lyme, and I saw some of the same techniques used long time ago where, you know, you can see them, people saying there's a problem and there's these hearings in Connecticut and they run their experts out and make, you know, basically gaslight people. And some of those same people that they sent out there were on the same, were signing the document that Fauci passed around to say that it was a, you know, that the lab leak was impossible. And as an example, you know, you could see, so some of those same names get recycled 20 years later so it's kind of a tell that there's, that this thing isn't straight. So, I mean, you can see, for example, I just remember seeing online, now this sounds possibly almost insane, but when I remember seeing videos where people, and I'm not sure if my face is video, I put the video on, but on my own computer, I don't see my face. So I'm not sure if it's being transmitted out or not. But so I'm tapping my shoulder, but I remember online someone saying, oh, you can put a magnet where someone's getting the COVID shot. And I thought, well, that seems a little crazy. I've never seen that before. But I didn't get it myself, nor my wife, but a friend got it. We said, just out of curiosity, why don't you put this magnet on? And it stuck, you know, and then we put it on her other arm and it did not stick. And I thought to myself, well, here it is, you know, and this person freaked out when they saw it. And then we brought up the little NPR report saying it's a conspiracy theory that magnets will stick to the location. And yet, you know, I saw it with my own eyes. So for example, you see things like that, and I think people have their own little tells in their world, and either you know, but most people, if authority repeats things enough, then people believe it, and it's, you know, that's, so anyway, common sense seemed to be in short supply, I guess that's all, back then, and that's how I see it.
Yeah, thank you. So I wanted to bring something up. Everyone know who this guy Jay Bhattacharya is? Okay. Well, you have to understand that in 2020, March of 2020, I remember this very well because I came out massively against the lockdowns. You guys can go look at it. And we actually, in April of 2020, we organized 120,000 signatures online. It was massive. Printed them out, took them to the White House, drove the bus down there and delivered them to Trump. Gave letters to Trump. Marla Maples delivered it to him. Did nothing. Gave him the whole thing. So, but those videos went viral. 500 million people saw them all over the world. It was a time when the censorship had not come in yet, at least to us. And this guy, Jay Bhattacharya, which is the most important time, was writing a paper to promote lockdowns. And I'm going to bring up that paper out of Stanford. And then they saw this declaration, this against Fauci we'd done. It was a document, you know, everyone signed it. And literally I saw it 6 months later, they stole parts of our document, but made it sound like the elites were behind it, MDs. Okay, in October of 2020. I forget what it was called. It was called some declaration. But in their declaration was a twisted version of ours, not being very clear. Hey, lockdowns suck. Well, lockdowns may be good under certain conditions, da, 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 da. And all healthcare workers should be vaccinated. And this is the paper that he wrote, okay? And this was a paper, okay? And this is visualizing the invisible, the effect of asymptomatic transmission of outbreaks, dynamics of COVID, okay? And if you notice, this comes out of Stanford. If you know anything about Stanford, Stanford is where the CIA really exists. Stanford is like the center of the CIA. So if you go through this paper, you know, it's got a lot of equations and da-da-da-da-da, right? It's this guy's an epidemiologist, okay? But at the end of it, at the end of the paper, right, he ultimately says that social distancing is good. We have to have lockdowns, okay? And if you want to go read it, you should read it. But after all of this, this is all just gobbledygook shit, okay? As Nick said, all the magician stuff. But at the end of it, our study said that until vaccination and treatment become available, increasing population awareness, encouraging increased hygiene, mandating the use of face masks, restricting travel, and promoting physical distancing should be the most successful strategies to manage the impact of COVID on both our economy and our healthcare system. That's what he wrote. And this paper was published then, and now they promote him as a guy who's supposedly against it. It's bullshit. It's just absolute fabrication trying to make him look like he was a hero. It's just nonsense. You see? So, August of 2020. Now, compare that to letter to Trump. I think, I don't know, we used to have it here, okay? Let me see if I can find it here. This may be it, okay? So while that idiot is doing this, we're on the ground, and I wrote this letter to Trump. Look at the date, March of 2020. And it's got delivered to him because the White House called me back. And it says, Immune and Economic Health of America. This letter went into gross detail. I mean, this guy is not even a biological engineer. He's an epidemiologist. And we'll put it out here so you guys can all read it. Suresh, I'm going to put it on the chat, okay, to everyone. And Bazin, if you can share this with people, okay? I'm just going to put it there. And it's all out there. And it actually goes through why the lockdowns suck and why you should not do them, how it's going to destroy the economy. And I gave Trump an actual plan on what must be done. Oops, I don't know if it's coming up. There's a couple of other sites which have it. Let me see if I can find another site. But the letter used to be up on the Sheba for Senate site. Okay. You can send it out there, Bazin. I just sent it to you. But you go read the letter. Not only did we do the letter, but we also mobilized people. Do you guys see what's going on here? The duplicity? Here's a guy who wrote a paper promoting lockdowns in a scientific journal. That Fauci used that paper. Okay? Yeah, the Great Barrington fucking Declaration on October 4th. It was literally taken from our stuff, lifted, but twisted. It's a very twisted human being, but he was backed by the elites. The CIA and whoever it is said, holy shit, here's a brown-skinned Indian guy who came out of MIT. He's actually telling the truth. Let's find another brown-skinned sellout and have him do this nonsense. Meanwhile, the problem is he'd written a paper a few months ago in the middle of all of this, promoting lockdowns, which Fauci used to justify lockdowns. You guys understand what I'm saying? And this guy has now been appointed and acted as though he fought for us. No, he didn't. This is like how they create fake heroes. That's the deception that's underway right now. The Democrats have imploded. There is no, quote unquote, even a fake opposition. There's only Trump on the front page of Time magazine. He did the lockdowns. He supported Operation Warp Speed. He gave Fauci a Medal of Honor 12 hours before he left office. And we are now led to believe that him, Elon Musk, Vivek the Snake, and Booby are going to all save us. Our movement is the only opposition that is providing the critical thinking so people don't get fucked. So, Nick, good to have you. So if you guys introduced everyone, is there any questions we have? Because we can have a quick night then. Any questions? I know I've shared a lot on December 14th at 11 a.m. and December 15th at 3 p.m. Keep an eye out. You'll be getting your email. We're going to be doing a larger session on all of this. But I encourage all of you to just reflect on the enormous opportunity we have because our movement exists and the enormous historical duty you guys have. 20 minutes a day. Hand out those cards. Okay? Get on the ground. We've made it easy. We've packaged it into things that anyone can do now because we all work for a living, right? Or if we're retired, you know, we still have other things we do. So we've made it easy for people to distribute these cards and be an activist while integrating this into your life. That's sort of the innovation we've done. So get involved. It's going to get more and more interesting. You have Netanyahu now acting like he's a peacemaker, saying, you know, in blah, 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 look what we did in Gaza. Look what we did in Lebanon. Look what we did in Syria. Iran, watch out. So it's quite extraordinary times we live in. Great opportunities to learn and grow. Any questions? Suresh, if there's any questions on social media, you can bring them up. Let me see anything here. Marian Lola on Facebook. How does the Socialist Party of today differ from the Socialist Party of the 1900s? Okay, great question. So first of all, what is socialism? That needs to be understood, okay? The Socialist Party, first of all, this is a long discussion, but to keep it simple, and it's not simple, but I'll try to do the best I can because I want to do service explaining this, is that in the 1900s, there were many different trends, Lola. There wasn't just like one trend. There were many people trying to look at the, you know, the Bolshevik Revolution was occurring in 1917. In the 1800s, the American workers were rising up. If you go through our course, we talk about what occurred in the Haymarket events in 1886, a great upheaval. It was a time when we were leaving the farms and going into factories. It was a big moment in history. So in the midst of all of this change and the midst of what occurred in Russia, people are saying, wow, how do we fundamentally change and fight oppression? So there were all different kinds of trends. There were many, many parties, progressive party, you know, left party, socialist parties. There was the Nazis, everything you can imagine. In fact, at that time, nearly 70% of the mail through the postal service was political mail. People were having very, very deep conversations. The women's movement comes out of that. By the way, Afghan women, as I mentioned many times, have the right to vote before American women. And in that time, American women went to the Democrats and they said, you know, we want to vote. And they laughed. The Democrats actually laughed women out of the halls of Congress. So women took to the streets, the suffragette movement. But they were fighting for universal suffrage, not only for women, but for all people. So there was a lot of stuff going on. Now, the events in Russia, we're pointing in the direction of, could you create a socialist state? So according to the classic theories of Marx, capitalism would have its evolutionary moment where it would go from, you know, a very progressive form of capitalism, and then it would eventually evolve to what Lenin described as imperialism. And classic Marxism, by the way, when Marx died, Engels said the worst people in the world are Marxists because they never really even read Marx. And most people haven't. It's unfortunate. But Marx is really retrospectively looking back at history. 99% of his work was a retrospective review. And there's about 1% which is predicting what could occur. But in that model, the perspective view was that there would be a time when the proletariat, would rise up and they would, for a period of time, run and own the means of production, and they would run the state. That was called the socialist state. And in Marx's model, that would be temporary because the state would eventually wither away. And then you would have this form of what he called communism, okay? And everyone was under the impression in the 1900s that such a revolutionary event would occur actually in Germany. This is why the British and America spent a lot of money supporting Hitler, because they at that point, Germany was the most advanced industrial state. And according to classic Marx, that a revolution could only occur in the most industrialized state. Anyway, so that was a notion of socialism, be true socialism, which we working people would rise bottoms up and seize the means of production. Russia they didn't really have a big working class. It was maybe 5%. It was peasantry. Lenin wanted to accelerate it. So there were workers' movements, right? And that acceleration resulted in a very short period of time of a socialist state, but then it devolved because all these countries wanted to invade Russia and it went into more of a state capitalist state. But socialist parties in the 1900s were still evolving. They didn't really fully understand this. The socialist parties of today, but they were having discussions. The socialist parties of today, if you actually look at them, they've always capitulated to be a wing of the Democratic Party. They do not believe in mobilizing bottoms-up movements. If you talk to 99% of them, if they did, they'd be with us, okay? But most of the socialist parties are institutionalized parties which still support some part of Russia somewhere or some part of China, believe it or not. But they do not believe in building bottoms-up movements. They still believe in the electoral system and voting, etc. So that's the difference, Miriam. But that's a short version of it.
Dr. Shu, we have someone on Zoom.
Can someone make Bazin, co-host? Because he's claiming he's not a co-host, if you could do that.
Only you can, because you're the host.
Oh. How did you become host then? You started this. Okay, great. I made him. Go ahead. What's the next question?
Sean from Canada, he said he's new and he wants to ask a question.
Did Sean introduce himself?
No. Sean, I'm asking.
Okay, if you're new, kindly introduce yourself.
I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Uh-huh. Have you met with Glenn Halls?
No, I have not. My aunt from Michigan has shown me some of your videos in the past, and very fascinated by a lot of what you're saying, every now and again, the truth, comes out, whether, the elites wanted to or not. And you're definitely speaking truth to power. So, a lot of what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And you're filling in the gaps, from my question was, though, about, and it's just more of an idea that I've just been sort of playing with, but I'm wondering if you think it might have some veracity or validity. Do you see the Hamas attack on Israel or the attack on Israel as sort of Netanyahu's Reichstag moment, as a chance to claim power, expand, curtail civil liberties, and to expand his power? And is that a fair assessment, or am I barking up the wrong tree?
Yeah, have you seen the cover of The Economist from 2012?
No, I don't think so.
Because it'll answer your question. Hold on, let me bring it up.
Sure.
I think it was interesting because when I saw that, because I used to read this rag years ago, and I remember this, okay? Mm-hmm. And I put it out because no one had actually seen this, okay? And then everyone else started sharing it, but let me bring this up here. So I'm going to share. So The Economist is a publication that, does, it's a magazine. Okay, you'll find it.
Yeah.
All right.
The Economist from 2012?
Yeah, so I'm going to bring it up right now, okay? And I want everyone to see this, okay? So this is The Economist from 2012. Can you see this, Sean?
Yes.
Okay, what do you see? What date do you see there?
Hang on, just let me pinch that. Oh, it says December 22nd, 2012 to January 4th, 2013.
Right, so this is their Christmas issue, okay? It was their Christmas issue, if I remember, okay?
Yep.
So what do you see here? Look at the front page. This is December, okay?
Yep.
It's this pretty wild cover, okay? It's a war is going on, right? The bankers, greed, you know, blah, blah, blah. But what do you see up here? Look what you see on the top. What do you see there?
It's just a mess.
No, but what do you see right there? You see
a hang glider. Oh, Hamas. Oh, my God.
Yes. And there's Netanyahu.
Jesus.
Okay. This is December
2012. 12 years ago.
Yes.
Wow.
Hamas hang glider flying over all this stuff. Okay. So.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
How do you do that? Why the fuck are you putting a hang glider with Hamas over Israel? Where does that come from? Where does the artist think about this?
Yeah, has this happened before? Has this happened over the ages? We've just never heard about
it. No, so let me tell you what actually happened, okay?
Okay, please.
And this is all in front of you, but people don't want to critically think. This is why our movement is so vitally important. Hamas was funded by Israel starting in the 1980s. It's widely known. Qatar funded Hamas. So when you talk about your Reichstag moment, it's even worse than that. It was orchestrated deliberately. So you put in your people wherever you want, like you put in Jay Bhattacharya, you put in fucking Booby fucking Kennedy, you put in Elon Musk. These are assets. You guys understand this? These are not like random fucking people show up out of nowhere. You telling me a guy who's a fucking heroin addict all his life, sold fucking cocaine all of his fucking life, bangs where the fuck he wants, right? Plagiarizes his thesis, now gets to be the head, the secretary of health. That doesn't just happen. Do you think a guy who never could make any company work, who could not even write basic code, now he's the head of SpaceX, the head of Twitter, the head of Tesla?
Yeah.
Okay, you have to be fucking retarded to think this fucking shit is real. And another fucking idiot, Vivek the Snake, fucking just stole, you know, just fucking stole people's money. Took a drug from somewhere which was failing, fucking took it public, gets on Kramer, tanks the stock. This guy's going to do government efficiency. This shit is fucking crazy shit. And Donald fucking Trump is a fucking businessman. Are you fucking serious? The guy doesn't even know what a balance sheet is. One of my close friends met with him who helped him 8 times. He'd fire him, hire him. He's like, I'm a billionaire. My friend Bill said, you're not a billionaire, Donald. You have $2 billion in fucking debt. You have $1 billion in assets. You're a negative fucking billionaire. Guy's a fucking retard. I sat with him for 2 hours and was sitting saying, this guy's a fucking retard.
Yeah.
So these people are fucking thinking you're a bunch of retards.
Yeah.
And okay. So this is a checkmate move. Okay. The goal is to do this shit and to bring you along. So you say, rah, rah, rah. That's what this is about. So the masses support it. So once you get that, and we don't build a bottoms up movement, that's how fucking simple it is. They want you to support this shit. But the reality is these are all actors. The play has been written out. That was a fucking script you saw in 2012. The script had already been written. It's already being signaled. And the script was this. It's real estate. It's real estate. It's real estate. It's real estate. That's all it is. Genocide is a way. I did this little fake book cover. Genocide is a way of getting real estate at no money down. Okay? That's what genocide is. No money down real estate. I could start a fucking course. I should sell a course called How to Buy Real Estate for No Money Down. Genocide. All right? Go to my neighbor's here. I want his house. I send some thugs over. I pay off the local state reps. I go there and say, hey, Alan, I want your fucking house. Oh, I don't want to give you my house. Well, this is the deal, okay? You need to get the fuck out, okay? I'm going to kill you. Oh, really? Yeah, and then I kill you. And then no one does anything because I paid off everyone. So I get a $2 million house for $100K in corruption. That's what the fuck is going on. That's what is actually going on, guys. Meanwhile, you work hard, you save your fucking money to buy a house, and you do all the loans and you do all the shit. Genocide is what they're about, okay? Just take land. So the goal is for the Zionists to get greater Israel. So what do? Netanyahu makes a phone call to his operatives called Hamas. They attack. Great. Now he has the check move. I mean, it's if you ever play chess, you can map out the moves. Okay, now I can go into Gaza, obliterate them. They got water because Israel's water tables are going down. They need water over there. Southern Lebanon has a lot of aquifers. We need water there. So you make the check move there. They know Iran, probably their friends, by the way, will lob some missiles over. Now you have the justification to go into Southern Lebanon with Hezbollah. And all these people are easy to pay off. They're not bottoms-up movements. Let's be honest. Because if Hamas truly cared about the Palestinian people, they would have armed all of them.
Yeah.
It would have been popular fucking militias. They would have armed every man, woman, and child. When you have standing armies, that's not a revolutionary movement. So you do that. Then you're funding the Islamic fundamentalists over here. You make a call to Erdogan, who wants his peace. This was all mapped out, guys. But they want you to think, oh my God, what's going on? And Trump is a fucking fool. He's been paid off handsomely. He's just a paid actor. He'll say this, he'll say that. He'll say whatever the fuck he wants to say just to keep people guessing. But meanwhile, they're going to print more money. They're going to move it to digital currency and you're going to be fucked. But our movement exists and is calling this out. Yeah, so Sean, that's what's really going on. I mean, if the Economist picture doesn't make it clear enough for you, I mean, what more do you want? Hamas hang gliders. I mean, it's right there in your in front of you.
Yeah. No, 10, and the ago. Thing is the thing is that's even more clarifying because it's not just the Reichstag moment and as you describe it, a land grab. It's for resources, it's for power and control in a whole region. I mean, this is class warfare on a whole other level.
Exactly. That is the two most important words we need to talk about. It is class warfare, period.
Yeah.
And the number one reason people are dying young is because of biological stress, income inequality. I don't want to talk about, don't talk to me about fucking fluoride and water. Okay. Yeah. The fucking booby fucking Kennedy. Okay.
Yep.
Meanwhile, he gets pure Voss water delivered to his home. He probably, you know, all that shit. No, the reality is stress is what's killing people. Physical stress. You ever be stressed out? You get flus, you get this, you get all sorts of shit. Overnight, cortisol level goes up.
Yeah.
So it is stress.
Weight stays on. Migraines, when you never used to have migraines. Cancer rates increase due to stress because your body can't fight the stuff off. You know, you're wondering where your next meal's coming from or your next paycheck. Are you going to have a roof over your head? And the elites don't give a shit. Pardon my French.
Yeah, booby fucking Kennedy's never had to worry of any of that. He had to worry about where could he find the fucking vein to fucking find the needle to fucking get some heroin. Okay? That's his fucking worry. Could he hide his diary or after his wife hung himself? I mean, these fucking people are, they're not us, guys. So don't talk to me about, oh, well, Booby is going to do some shit for us. He may get, fuck him.
Yeah.
The guy has lived a life of exploitation. So this is what our movement is so clear. This is why I curse at them. And if you have a problem with my fucking cursing, don't write me essays what I shouldn't curse. I say, fuck you. You didn't learn the shit. Go back to kindergarten. Okay? No, seriously.
No, you're 100% correct. Because the thing is, this is fucking serious. It has never been more serious. The culture wars, it's bullshit.
So, Sean, let's just time out. So, Sean, here's my homework assignment to you. We can keep having this abstract conversation. Glenn Halls is right here. Step one, go through Shatter the Swarm. Step two, finish a Get Off the Plantation, work with Glenn, and start handing out some cards. These are very practical things. And it's blocking and tackling is where we're at now. Mm-hmm. And to everyone listening on social media, you can watch all these fucking grifters tell the truth all day, but none of them will get out on the ground and do anything. Doris DeBiche is right there, 82-year-old. She slept in a fucking car and collected signatures for us. That's not abstract. It's not like having long, deep fucking conversations. We need to build a fucking movement. Get on the ground and help us. Help yourself. Save yourself. All right. Thanks, Sean. Good to have you. So, Gautam, quick question. Gautam, you're in India. You should connect and get on the ground and help us, okay? It's good to see you, but you got to connect with people. Thanks for, I don't know if you helped us do some translations. Did you?
Yeah, Dr. Shiva, am I audible?
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Shiva, I don't have a question, but I just want to thank you because everything you say has come true. You said about Putin and BRICS, and now I see what Putin has done in global level. And all of the world, we are star worshipper. I think same is the case in Russia, same is the case in India as well. And I just can't, how can I say whenever I say to people, just join you, I just can't let you to let them to you because, of language problem and others. And in the COVID time, they were worshipping John F. Kennedy and they said, you are a politician and something like that. Those who are awakened out here, they lead a movement called Awaken India Movement. And they are followers of John F. Kennedy from 2020. And whenever I tell them just to, just to listen to you, they want to listen to you. And I just want to meet you whenever you're coming to India and, how can we do that? I don't know. But last night I was listening to a video about that pipeline that he was talking about and that Greater Israel project and all those pipeline. I think you should make an analysis on that as well because whatever has gone out there in Syria, there is a global meet between, I believe, Putin and this global elite. They have coordinated to dump all those people, and it's a pipeline thing. I think India is there as well. Our pipeline project goes down there as well. I think you should make an analysis on that as well, because there is huge talk in India about the pipeline as well. Thank you.
So what Gautam is talking about is there's two pipelines, one which will go right up through Syria out to the ports for Russia, and another pipeline which is for Iran, okay? Those guys. So all of this stuff is about power, profit, control. And if you learn to critically think, which what we teach, everything becomes very easy to understand. There's no confusion. And the conclusion always comes to, we need to build a bottoms-up movement. So, we've got 82 people here tonight, and I don't know how many ever are online, but do the homework, guys. Go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Become a warrior scholar. Do it for yourself. I'm not going to try to convince you, but we've organized everything. We actually have a path forward. Otherwise, you will die. It's that simple. Think or die. So I want to welcome everyone. Glenn, if you can connect with Sean, Nicholas will connect you. But thank you, everyone. Be well, be the light. Act, we have many, many solutions. December 14th and December 15th, join us Saturday and Sunday. We've done 2 days because we wanted to make sure that we could hit the United States as well as overseas. Thank you. Thanks, Nicholas. Thanks, Bazin. Thanks, Suresh, for helping us do this. Suresh, if you could just end out by playing, Nicholas, if you guys play the Anthem video and the Features video so people understand what we have. And then close it out. I'd appreciate that. Nicholas, I'm going to make you a host, if that's okay, as I check out. Thanks, right. Nicholas. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves. Because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you. Deep down inside them. That you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing, Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.